Hi, babes. Welcome to the Highway to Health podcast. We are your hosts, Elvi and Vale.
The podcast for open conversations about health, talking about the struggles of living with chronic illness, coping with emotional hardships, and sharing all the lessons we've learned along the way.
We want to be a source of information, empowerment, and community, but we are also here to show you that we are normal people too and have struggles and off days.
Grab your green juice, lemon water, herbal tea, or whatever suits your mood, and make yourself comfortable and get ready to get on the highway to health. Hi, babe.
Hello, love. How are you?
I'm really, really good. It's like the first day that the sun is out here in Stockholm ever since I got back from India. So it's like been 3 great weeks and now the sun is out. So I'm very happy.
That always makes me here so by the happy window. As well. I also have clear, blue, bright sky and I'm in winter wonderland now. Everything's so snowy. Is it actually still snowy for you? Did it stick?
No, it's melted away, but it's like definitely minus degrees Celsius, but no snow yet.
Oh, it'll come.
Yes, I hope so. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. Like I said, I'm back in Switzerland now. We got here yesterday. So it was quite the drive. We were driving the entire day and we obviously had to stop a bunch of times for our dog and switching driving and stuff. And so it was like the entire day. So I'm a little bit exhausted still, but yeah, I'm going to do an early night tonight and then I'll feel my fullest best again tomorrow.
Oh, that's amazing. Getting into the Christmas spirit, I can imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really nice to be back up here. It's so Christmassy and just like everything's white and like beautiful. Aww. And yeah, it's such a nice environment. But yeah,
that's
how
amazing.
Has your week been?
It's been good. I've been busy doing some work, just trying to like get into all these routines that I'm creating for myself after India. So it's been really good and exciting, very busy. I went to a Christmas show and then I went to like a paddle event, you know, paddle.
Of course.
Yeah. You're living in Spain, of course. And so I've been doing like a lot of things. I feel like every single evening. So I'm quite exhausted now. And then yesterday evening, I went to the airport with my best friend and we picked up my sister. So she's here now for the whole week.
And we are
so
exciting.
Very excited. Yes.
That's
I'm super
so nice.
Happy.
I'm excited to see my sister soon too.
When is she going to come?
Sometime this week, I believe. I'm latest going to see her on Monday, but I think earlier probably. So
hopefully
in the next
before.
Couple days as well. Yeah, but you haven't seen your sister in like so long because you were in India.
I know. I feel like we haven't seen each other since the summer. If that's
wild.
What the heck? Time passes by so fast. It's crazy.
That's so nice. And your
mom's
coming.
It's been too long,
right?
Exactly. My parents are coming. So my mom and my dog is coming tomorrow, my second sibling. And then my dad is coming on Thursday. So the whole family will be reunited.
Oh, that's so nice. Yay. Yes. That's such a good feeling.
It is a really good feeling. I can't wait. And it's going to definitely be a challenge because when my parents come, it means that we eat out a lot, like all the time. So it's always a challenge, but I feel like now, like, I just want to enjoy and enjoy the food, enjoy different cuisines. So it's going to be amazing. How has your week been?
Stockholm is incredible. I love it.
It is.
My week has been really good. I was in Paris, obviously, with my mom, and my cousin and her boyfriend came to visit. And so we got to spend some time, which was super, super nice. And yeah, we just like went into the town a bunch and or like into the city, like the center. And yeah, it was super, super full, like a lot of people. And it was very, very crowded. So it was definitely exhausting. But it was also really nice to, I feel like I haven't done that in a really long time with the pandemic. And so because of that, when I was in Milan, we like didn't really go super much, like, I don't know, to all the busy places, I guess. And so this was like the first year in a while that my mom and I did that, and we really enjoyed it. And yeah, just like gives such a like cozy mood, and like it's cold outside, and then you go inside, and like everybody's just like shopping, and like it was just a really nice environment. And obviously a lot of packing and preparing to leave for Switzerland. And so yeah, it was kind of a mix of like cozy and busy vibe, but it was really nice. And yeah, now we're here again. And so yeah, that was kind of my week really.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds really nice with the Christmas shopping and just like being in town. I can imagine they put up a lot of beautiful decorations.
So much, yeah, and all the lights and like all the big
Oh.
centers just had so many like crazy decorations, and yeah, it's really nice. I love it really much. It's
Yeah.
such a nice vibe.
But so do
Exactly.
you want to introduce the little topic of the week?
Yes, we're super excited for this one. I think it's kind of like the foundation of, especially this season, but really just in general, our kind of perspective on health, really. But we came up with a total of 8 pillars of health that we feel like all kind of contribute to your health. And like if one of them, for example, is out of balance, then it can like, you know, affect your health overall. And so looking at all of them holistically is really how we view it. But so I'm just going to list the 8 of them. So the first one is nutrition and sleep, gratitude, visualization, relationships, passion, movement, and mindfulness. So those are kind of like the overarching ones. And we kind of like paired them a little bit. So like I mentioned them, like the way that I listed them, like nutrition and sleep kind of go together because it's like the quality of the both of them is so important. And if you don't have quality nutrition, it just, yeah, it's not good.
It will be
And
noticeable.
it would be very noticeable. And likewise with sleep, if you don't get quality rest, sleep has such a massive impact. And really just getting like not even just getting like a long amount of sleep, but also just the quality of the sleep is super
Yeah,
important.
and even like your routines around sleep, I feel like are so essential. At
Exactly.
least to me, like that was something I didn't have before while I was feeling very ill because I would just like sleep until I would wake up. But now I've gotten these routines and I feel like it gives me so much more energy, even though I might sleep less.
Exactly. I think the consistency of it is much more important than like the hours necessarily. Because if you like, I always think like if people go to sleep or like sleep a certain amount of hours during the week and then during the weekend they like sleep in until like 12 p.m., then it just throws you off completely. And I think
Yeah.
having a consistent one throughout the entire week is much more helpful. Even like specific days, like if you know that one day, if you keep having that routine every single week, your body gets used to it and knows it. And then it's also much easier for you to fall asleep and for you to actually like get into that deep sleep rather than just like light sleeping. I don't know what it's called exactly.
No, exactly. Like good quality sleep and like the profound one, where your healing can be done. And also like when in terms of waking up in the morning, like it will determine if you're waking up feeling like you've been hit by a truck or if you're waking up feeling very light and like ready to start the day, you know. 'Cause sometimes
Exactly.
you wake up feeling like you need to continue to sleep even longer or like you're super slow just laying in bed for another hour. So I think
Exactly.
it really does make a difference. And for weekends, I try to like stick to maybe sleeping in, but like with 1 hour. Okay, so and then we have the gratitude and visualization. And I think like also these two go hand in hand very beautifully because gratitude is showing like, yeah, you're saying thanks to all the things that you have and appreciating what you have in the present moment. And when you do that, you can also have your visualization or what you do want in the future more clear because you're like set on what you do have and you're grateful for it. And then all of the things you want will come easier to you
Exactly.
and
And
keeping you on track.
yeah, that's so true. And also, I think when you're grateful for the things that you already have in your life, then you kind of create more abundance for things that you want in the future. And I think this is like a really, like, you really have to kind of like put it on the scale and like really create that good balance for you, because it's really a fine line of like being happy in the moment and with what you have currently, but still knowing what you want in your future and striving for that, and like, you know, like visualizing that, but still staying grounded and not like living in your future, but still living in the present moment. And like, yeah, I
Yeah.
think that's like a very fine line between those two.
It really is. Because it's like also showing gratitude, but it doesn't have to mean that you need to settle for what you have, because you can always like
Exactly.
create an even better life for yourself. So, like Valentina said, put it on the scale and see how you can balance it out.
Yeah.
And then we have relationships and passion, which is very interesting to me, because when you say like relationship and passion, you will directly, maybe at least me, like first thought is a romantic relationship, because there is like a lot of passion in it. But to us, as foundational pillars of health, relationships are like romantic relationships, but with also with your friends, with your families, maybe your colleagues at work, or even just a stranger on the street. Like how you treat all of those different relationships in your life, because I think what you give or what energy you put off will also come back to you. And even though you might not like be super connected with your colleagues at work, but really trying to put a little bit of effort into that relationship, I think it will like turn into something more beautiful and present, like pleasant for you to go to work every day. And passion, of course, it is like that drive of putting also the love into the relationships, but also in everything else that you do around, like having a drive force and a motivation behind everything you do. Like, I think passion is like kind of like your intuition as well, because it's something deep rooted inside. Like, if your intuition says it, then you will have passion to complete it.
Yeah, exactly. And that makes me think of there's like this quote that says, finding a way to yourself is not about like creating yourself, but it's really coming back to your true self and like unlearning the things that like society may have like taught us, or like just like generally just like it just happens throughout the life because you just pick things up. And I think the passion thing is like it's so important to have something that you're driven by and that you're passionate about, and that you just like it lights you up from the inside. That's the way that I picture it. And I think they're like the balance between having the social aspect of like relationships with other people, but still having that drive from yourself, and like, you know, kind of being able to do stuff by yourself as well. It's like it's so important for self-development. But obviously having the support from like your closest friends and family is also so crucial. And I think they're the balance of the two. It's like it creates such a beautiful like circle moment.
Definitely. And I think like passion and relationships is something that's accessible to everyone. And like sometimes we feel like a little lost in terms of what is my passion, what is my calling in life. And I mean, that's totally fine, because when we're like raised in the society, we're not taught how to tune in and listen to our body, but it is in there. Like it's inside of you already. And some things will like light your flame or spark the flame, and some will tame it. And you just have to follow what sparks it, basically. And
Exactly. You have
that's
to
so
figure
different
out.
for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And it can also change throughout your life. Like just because you have a certain passion at one point in your life doesn't mean that you're gonna be passionate about that in your entire life. Of course it's possible, but it's also okay for those things to develop and to change and like to grow, you know? And as we grow as people, our passions and our motivators and things like that, they change as well. And so I think that's also important to remember. And our last two pillars, movement and mindfulness, I think these balance each other out super well as well, because the movement kind of symbolizes like moving forward and like the physical aspect of like moving your body, creating energy and moving energy around in your body, and then the mindfulness of like being more still and like tuning inwards and really just like paying more attention to your mind and your thoughts. And I think you can also integrate the both of them together, which I think is really beautiful. Like with yoga, for example, I think that that's like a beautiful like connection between the two, because you're physically moving your body, but you're also really being mindful of like the movements that you're doing, but also like your thought patterns, and you can really integrate those two really well together.
No, I love what you said about like the movement part, and that symbolizes going forward, and then mindfulness, like being more in the present moment, and they balance each other out because you can do both of them at the same time. Like you can do yoga, like a form of movement, but you can also be mindfulness, or you can go out in nature, have a walk, and still be mindful in the present moment. And I think it's also like a really good self-practice and self-discipline to actually, like, even though you're moving around, stressing around maybe, to be mindful and just like thankful and grateful, and try to tune in and not think about the outside noise, but actually just like, even if you're going out Christmas shopping, like try not to be influenced by all of the external factors, and try to strengthen your internal one so that it can like spread kind of a peaceful aura around you. And also, like, being mindful, I think, is just one super important pillar to health, because
So
that's
crucial.
also about like tuning into yourself and into your intuition. And when you need to like find maybe an imbalance in these pillars, I think mindfulness will like set the tone for you in order to find that imbalance easier.
Yeah, exactly, because you can really tune in, and the more that you.
So now I thought we would go a little bit more into like the chronic illness realm of our podcast, because like we said, health is not just like one spectrum, for example, food, but there's so much more to it. And many of you who follow the medical medium lifestyle might have been like thrown into changing your diet around. But to me, like I've had to work on each of these separate pillars, following after the diet change as well. So I think it's really interesting to see like the role that these pillars play in terms of chronic illness. And I was just curious if you have like any of these in particular that you've needed to focus on.
Yeah, really good question. And I completely agree. I think at the beginning, it's like it's very easy to only focus on nutrition or even like any of the pillars, really, and kind of dive really deep into one specifically at the beginning of your health journey. But I think later on, you kind of start to realize that more goes into it than just the one thing, especially with food. Like, yes, food can heal so much, and like you can get really, really far with just changing your diet. But I think at one point you do kind of plateau a little bit, and that's where it's important to look at these other areas of your life. But for me personally, I think the like a really hard one for me was sleep, because like during the night especially, I wouldn't be able to control like itching my skin, and so my sleep would really be affected by that. And you know, I would wake up, and like sometimes I slept with like ice packs, and so I would have to get up in the middle of the night and like change it, and that would just like disrupt my sleep a lot. And then I also wouldn't feel as rested in the morning, obviously. And so sleep was a really big one for me to kind of try to tune into more. And it's hard to change when like it's kind of like an uncontrollable factor for you. Like it's not like I could just like stop the itching at night, and like there wasn't really much that I could do. But obviously with like dietary changes, that got better. But I think that was a really big one for my like health, like once my sleep started being better, and once I kind of also started realizing that, like we talked about before, like having a good routine with it, it really just like has such an effect on the quality of your sleep. Because like if you go to bed at different times of like at different times every single night and wake up at different times every single day, it just like throws you off completely. Your body just has no idea what's going on. And so they are just like creating a routine is super helpful, and it just like it prepares your body for sleep time. And then also in the morning, after a while, it kind of like knows like, okay, now it's time to wake up. And you know, after a while, I didn't even need an alarm anymore because I just woke up because my body just knew like, okay,
Oh,
time to
I
get up.
love that.
It's the
That's like
best
the
feeling,
best feeling.
honestly. Or like waking up shortly before the alarm so that I don't need the alarm, which is like such a blessing. And yeah, so I think that was like the biggest one for me. But obviously all of them, I think, like made a difference. And like mindfulness as well, I think, is like a really big one. Like I wasn't really into meditation beforehand, and I just found it quite difficult to just sit down and like meditate, like focus on my breath. And I think I also didn't really understand meditation. Like I think there's a common misconception of like meditation is just like not thinking anything and just like clearing your mind. And like in today's world, like that is never gonna be possible. Like we're always gonna have thoughts, and we're always gonna like, yeah, just like circulating things in our head and like thinking about things. Like there's never gonna be a moment where you just have zero thoughts. And I think that's where I just like learned that it's much more about like focusing on your breath, slowing down your breath, and becoming aware of your thoughts, accepting them, letting them go. And just kind of like the way that I visualize it is like there's clouds, and they have like the thought or like the whatever I'm thinking about, and it just like passes, and I look at it and I'm just like, okay. And then it passes along,
I
and then the
love
next
that
one comes.
visualization.
Yeah, and it just like brings such a more like calm vibe to it, because like I'm a big overthinker, and so like thoughts can be really stressful. And so I think just like accepting them and like kind of also acknowledging them and like realizing the common patterns that I also have, like things that I think over and over and over again, that becomes a routine, and it just becomes automatic. And I think when you become aware of it, you can also then start to change it and like realize like, okay, in this situation I start thinking this. And so then like try to figure out ways to improve that, or like swap it out with something else, and like, you know, just like rehearsal in your mind, really. And I think that's so powerful for any kind of chronic illness. And I think that also obviously plays
Definitely.
into visualization, you know, just like visualizing your ideal future and your ideal self and becoming super clear on that. So yeah, I mean, really all of them, but those were kind of like the main ones for me. And yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I love what you said about mindfulness and like really trying to create a healthy thought pattern because if you always think like negative or worrying or anxious thoughts, that will create a certain type of energy in your body. And that energy alone can create a lot of like disease in your body. So, training your brain to think in a certain way and like, yeah, moving away from negative thought patterns is like, it can be hard because you have to go to the gym in order to build muscles, but you also have to continuously do this practice of meditation or mindfulness in order to change your brain pattern, especially if you've had it like ever since you're little. So, of course, it's going to take practice. And I think a lot of people have an imbalance in this. So, if you do feel like any of you listening have a little bit of an imbalance or maybe not be as mindful as you would wish to be, then this is really like a good invitation to start thinking about that maybe cloud exercise that Valentina said, where she visualizes her thoughts as clouds and they're just like flying by. I really like that one. But yeah, like in terms of me with the pillars of health and chronic illness, I feel like I kind of had huge imbalances in each single one of them now that I reflect. Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Even the nutrition part, like in the beginning, before starting with medical medium, I think I was trying so many different diets because I tried going to like so many doctors, practitioners, then I went to nutritionists, and like, oh, I know, I remember that the last diet, that like extreme diet I tried before going on to the medical medium one, was like basically only meat, like only protein. Yeah.
Oh
Yeah. And my mom, she was like, don't do it, don't do it. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. But yeah.
there's some crazy
So
stuff out there.
yeah, there is some crazy stuff out there. And I was like so young. It's crazy that I even had to like think in terms of like what I was eating and stuff. But so nutrition was definitely an imbalance. And I think also like transitioning into the medical medium one, it wasn't like super easy for me. So that was a pillar that I constantly had to work on. And I think also in terms of like how your symptoms will change over time, you will also look into your nutrition and see how can I support my body more? What food should I bring into like my regimen to focus on even more this time of year, et cetera. So it's always like an adjustment phase for me, at least. And then, as I mentioned, sleep was also really, oh, off the records, if you can say it like that. Like, it was just crazy. I remember I would like sleep for like 22 hours. Like, oh my God. I was just
Wow.
sleeping the whole time.
But your body
And then
needed it.
my body really needed it. But then I had insomnia. So I would like be at night and then I would sleep. And then this is actually like really cool because I thought about like, because movement was one of the things when I started to become sick that I had to take away quite like quickly. So after maybe 1 year of symptoms, so when I was 13, I wasn't able to join PE classes anymore. And I loved playing volleyball, dancing. I was like professional swimmer. I had to stop all of that when physical activity had been such a like big part of my life. I was doing like sports twice a day. You know, I loved it. And then I was forced to quit. But like something really beautiful, like in terms of the imbalances of the pillars and how they are all interconnected, was that when I started to get my nutrition better and like really fueling my body with what it needed in order to heal, but also to give me proper energy, then my sleep got better and like deeper. So my body could do more healing while I was like repairing during sleep. And then I noticed that I could start going out on like walks. So maybe in the beginning it was just 5 minutes, but then like I could up that to 10 minutes and then it was an hour and then I could be out walking all day. And then I could start going to Zumba, which I'm doing now, or even just yoga, which is so amazing. So like, even though there are imbalances, like for chronic illness, I feel like many times there are not just imbalances in one part, but in many. But I feel like once you start bringing balance into them and laying a good foundation, they will also like interconnectedly improve.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think when you start focusing on one area, other areas are like already improving without really like kind of like passively improving because like you're focusing on one area, but another area is already like healing and like becoming easier for you to do, like you said with nutrition. I think nutrition is like one of the biggest ones that like if you eat well, I feel like everything in your life just changes because you have more energy, like your eyesight, like literally my mom's eyesight just improved like from having glasses. Like she was
Amazing.
able to decrease her prescription because her eyesight got better. I mean, that's incredible, like the amount of like insane things that you can just do with just nutrition, and all of them play into each other. And I think realizing when you have an imbalance in one, focusing on that is automatically gonna like up level you in all areas, which I think is so
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like we're also here to tell them that like we're not perfect. We still have imbalances in
Of
these areas. And
course.
I also think like it's nice to have an imbalance and like know that nothing is ever going to be perfect. You always have to work on yourself. And even though like maybe our nutrition is in quotation marks like perfect or very good right now, that will also change. Like everything will change along the course of life and like based on where what situation you're finding yourself in or where you are, like, and yeah, I don't know. It's gonna change, and so will your pillars of health. And maybe sometimes you will have to focus more on some of them and less on others. And you have to also like prioritize which areas of these pillars do I need to focus on the most right now. And maybe then, like Valentina said, the others will improve automatically.
Exactly. And I think your body is so smart, and like your body is always out, like it always has the best interest for you, right? It's never out to harm you. And so your body is so smart that it's gonna give you signs and like ways, it's gonna tell you in different ways what you need to pay more attention to. And that's where just like if you're in tune with your body, you're automatically just gonna realize like this is what I need to pay more attention to. And your body's just such a smart, like overall system, and like it just like everything is so interconnected, and you're definitely going to get signs of it. You just have to listen to them. You have to tune into them. And yeah, you just have to not push them down because it's just going to pop up in a different area and probably worse. And so if you face it immediately, then it's going to, your path is going to be a lot easier.
But so, in terms of like finding these imbalances, how are some ways that you would describe like maybe an imbalances in nutrition or sleep or any of these pillars that could be a sign of your body like telling you?
Yeah, of course, this varies for every single person, and it's not necessarily going to pop up in this way. But I think for nutrition specifically, a really good sign to pay attention to is like having low energy, because like food is fuel. And of course, there's other ways to fuel your body. You can also get fuel from like doing something you love, and like, you know, there's so many ways to get like energy, but I think food is one of the main ones. And if you're low on energy, or if you have a meal and you feel unwell afterwards, I think that's a major sign of your body telling you like something isn't right, or like you can work on this. And with sleep as well, like we talked about, I think if you wake up and you feel exhausted, that's a clear sign that your sleep quality can be improved. And whether that's like changing the amount of hours that you sleep, or having a nighttime routine before you sleep, because I think the wind down before you sleep is also so important. And whatever you're doing before, right before you go to sleep, is probably what you're going to wake up to in the morning. So if you have negative thought patterns and like before you go to sleep, you're probably going to wake up with those negative thought patterns in the morning. And that's obviously not a good start to the day. And so I think one good thing is to put away all technology before you sleep. I'm definitely guilty of this. It's something that I can work on myself. And I've realized this the past couple of weeks, that I wake up not feeling as energized as I used to. And that's where I thought about it. And I was like, I've been on my phone more right before I go to sleep. And I realized that that affects like the quality of my sleep so much. And so that's one thing that you can definitely change. Or just doing like even like a 2 minute meditation before you go to sleep, like that already can, or when you wake up, even just to start your day on the right foot and like get yourself in the right headspace. It's like it literally can only take like 1 or 2 minutes. Like that can already change your entire day. And I think for gratitude, a good one to look out for is like if you feel like you're in a space of like lack and like kind of always looking at like other people's lives or things like that, and kind of like always being like it's greener on the other side. The truth is that wherever you pour your energy into, that's what's gonna grow and like flourish and like, you know, be beautiful and colorful and vibrant. And if you pay attention to other people's lives and are constantly thinking like whatever you don't have that they might have, it's like that's gonna make you feel like it's always gonna circle around and make you feel like you don't have enough. But if you actually focus on even just the littlest things, like having a roof over your head or being able to have 3 meals in a day, like those little things, if you just start with those and then work your way, like there's always things that you can be grateful for. Being alive, waking up in the morning, having somebody that you can talk to, anything. And those little things can really just create more abundance in your life. And if you feel more grateful for those sort of things, then you also attract more of the things that you want into your life. And so it's like it goes hand in hand.
I love what everything about what you said, and I completely agree. I think like continuing on, I'll just like go down the other pillars. If you have an imbalance in visualization, I think like one sign would be that you feel a lack of motivation and sense of purpose a little bit. You feel a little bit lost in like what you want to do. You don't feel very inspired. So it might be some of those days, like if you tend to have a lot of days in which you wake up feeling just like not energized, not excited about what's to come during the day, and you don't really have like I said, a sense of purpose or a calling. I think visualization, like an imbalance there, is prevalent. And one way to easily like write in your journal every day, and I think that's the same for gratitude, but especially with visualization, like creating a mood board and starting with affirmations and like visualizing your future self, whether it's like a week from now, half a year from now, 5 years from now, and you visualize the person you want to become and what you want to have around. Maybe if it's like a specific job, or if you're visualizing yourself as a mother, like really visualize what you're doing in those positions, because then you will get clear on your vision and then you will be motivated to try to achieve it every day. Because if you don't do it, no one else is going to do it for you. And sometimes you need a little
That's
kick in the butt.
the
So that's a really good way. And I think like, even though some people might think, but how is visualization so important for my overall health? But it really is, because it's something like if you have a clear vision, your every day is going to be so much more like, I don't know, obvious. Like, it's, of course, I'm going to do this. You know, like, you know what you're going to do when you wake up in the morning. And that is like a certain drive within you, which is really nice. It's like a drive force.
And it can really accelerate your journey as well, because when you get super clear on where you want to be in the future or who you want to be, what kind of environment you want to be in, the people you want to be surrounded by, you automatically start attracting that. And when you practice this consistently, you start doing the things that the person that you're trying to become, or the person that would have those things, would do. That's the stuff that you're gonna start doing, and you're basically putting out into the universe the kind of energy that the person has that has what you want to do. I really hope that makes sense.
Yeah, you're bringing your present self and your future self closer together.
Exactly. And you're accelerating the journey of where you are now to where you want to be, because you're already living the way that you want to be in the future. And so then automatically the things start happening that situation brings about faster.
Yeah. And in the beginning, like you can literally act. Like you can just like wake up in the morning and pretend to be that person, because when you pretend, you're gonna become. And then relationship. If you have an imbalance in relationships, I think one way is maybe that you feel alone. You don't feel a sense of belonging to maybe a group, or like having those heartfelt, deep connections to somebody. And I feel like if you don't feel like you have found your person or your soulmate or your best friend, know that that person is out there. And starting to connect with like-minded people who share your energy, maybe share your values, and always carrying like an open mind and an open heart, because I think then you will like start to seek your way into beautiful relationships, and beautiful relationships will also flourish if you're open and loving. But I think relationships is so like fundamental for your well-being. And also having like a support system while you're living with chronic illness or whatever it might be that you're going through in life.
Yeah, I really like what you said also about being open because you really never know when or where you're going to meet somebody that could literally become a lifelong friend or partner or just a connection that you can make, and it can happen anywhere, you know, like standing at the bus station, just waiting there. If you just are open and you can start a conversation with anybody, and you never know where it might lead or what kind of things they might be going through and how that might relate to you. And I think that's a really good, like, piece of advice to be open and to really be able to receive these kind of things, because I think oftentimes, like, you know, with headphones and things like that, we can be so closed off, and it's really important to kind of open yourself up again, especially if you feel those sort of feelings of like being alone and not really having that sort of social connection. That's a really good way to like create more openness and abundance of that in your life by practicing being more open.
And I think for passion, if you have an imbalance there, like one way to notice that you have an imbalance is a little bit like with the visualization, I would say, because you don't feel like that drive, motivation, inspiration. But passion, I would say, is more like it's really something you love doing. And visualization is more of something like, you're visualizing your future. You're like having a clear vision on what you want. And passion is actually like the doing itself. And like I said before, like passion is kind of a flame within you, but not everyone has found what like lights that flame. And if you have an imbalance, I think it's completely normal to like not maybe have found your biggest interest in life or your like hobby, something you love doing. But the one way to like start getting more in tune to your passions would be just trying out new things and always like keeping an open mind and trying things maybe that you think you wouldn't like, because who knows, maybe it turns out to be your biggest passion in life. And then movement imbalances there. I mean, in some cases with chronic illness, like for myself, I wasn't able to do any like physical movement at all, basically. So then you're a little bit more limited. But I think like one form of movement that is super gentle is just sitting on bed and like rebounding a little bit, getting your lymphatic system moving, and also stretching, because that also
Makes sense as well.
allows, stretching, just like moving your body super gentle. And I think an imbalance, like finding like an imbalance of having not enough movement in your everyday life, maybe you will feel like a little bit restless, I would say, or feeling like you want to move your body. Maybe you feel a little bit stiff or you have tensions. And I think that's a sign to just like start moving your body more gently. And then who knows? Like for me, I was also super scared of moving my body too much, even when I had healed a lot, because I knew if I moved it too much, then I would become sick. But so I was like really going slow, but doing a little bit more maybe every time. And I saw that my body is supporting me and like it wants me to move, because ideally having physical activity or movement in your like everyday life is really nice.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think also trying out different things to figure out what your like ideal way of moving is also a good way to experiment with it. And I think also a good way to see an imbalance is like if you already do a certain type of sport or like certain type of sport, if you feel, because for me at least, when I exercise afterwards, I feel more energized and it gives me energy. But I realize that when I do a certain type of activity and I feel like crazy exhausted afterwards and like very sluggish and just like not better than before, then I know that that was not the right thing for me. Because for me, movement is really like a way to, yeah, like release endorphins and like make you happy and energized, and I don't want to feel worse than I did before. And I think that's a major sign that like you should try something new. At least for me it is. Exactly. There's so many different types. Like there's literally something for everybody, because I think like not this like yoga won't work for everybody, but there's also so many different types of yoga. And so I think even exploring that, like just because you necessarily didn't like, I don't know, vinyasa yoga, you can try out hatha yoga or you can try out yin yoga. Like there's so many different types, which also differ so much like individually, that like just because you didn't like one type, don't give up on it entirely, because it's really
Yeah,
just
you can
like
come up with your whole own yoga practice. Like, do whatever
literally.
you love.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what about the last one, mindfulness?
So for mindfulness, I would say, because I mean, I think mindfulness is also very individual. Like it can mean something different for everybody. And so I think if you feel very stressed, anxious, uneasy a lot of the time, I think that's a good sign that you can try to bring in more mindfulness. Or also like if you notice that you have a lot of negative thoughts, I think that's also a good one. Just to become more mindful, literally. I think that's the best way to say it, really. But there's also, again, so many different ways to try to bring more mindfulness into your day. For example, going out into nature and just like disconnecting, not having any headphones in, and just listening to the sounds and being present in the moment, that can really just like shift your entire day. Or like I mentioned earlier, just doing like a quick 1-2 minute meditation in the morning or before you go to sleep, or even like practicing affirmations. If you struggle with those, I think a good way to remember them more is like to write them on little sticky notes and stick them around places where you're often, like in
Love
the
it.
bathroom, in the mirror, or I don't know, in the kitchen, or just little reminders for you to tune in and like take those little moments out of your day. And yeah, I think there's like literally endless ways to be more mindful, but you just have to find your own way to make it work for you in your life.
Exactly. I also think like writing a diary is really such a beautiful way to become more mindful because you're bringing awareness to your thoughts around like the day, and maybe then you will notice, oh, I actually have quite a lot of negative thoughts about today. Like it wasn't the best day, but then you get like a wider perspective and maybe you can see some patterns there.
Yeah, that's true.
And also in terms of affirmations, like I love affirmations so much, and it's something I really would like to do more often, but the sticky notes is a really good way, but also like recording yourself on your phone saying them, and then you can listen to yourself over
Oh,
and
I
over
love
again
that.
because it's like yourself telling
Your own
yourself
voice.
literally.
Yeah, you could be your own motivator. I love that. That's great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think like this episode has been super fun
I
to
really enjoyed it.
go more into all of these pillars of health. And I mean, like health really is so multidimensional, and I think this episode has showed that to us, but also to those of you listening. And we also want to stress the fact that like each and every one's of us has unique needs, and it's not just like dietary needs, but also in terms of our lifestyles, or relationships. Like it will not look the same for anyone, even though Valentina and I connect very good and are very similar in many ways, but we have like completely different pillars of health and how those foundations look.
Yeah, this was super fun. I really enjoyed it. And we hope Me that too. You all did too, and were able to take something away. And yeah, we are super excited for everything that's to come with these
episodes. Sending you lots of love.
Yes.
Thank you for tuning in for this week's episode.
If you found something helpful, make sure to share this episode with your friend or a loved one you think could benefit from it.
And if you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to subscribe and leave a review because it really helps spread the word to more health babes around.
If you haven't already, also make sure to follow our Instagram at Highway to Health Pod to stay up to date and connected on our upcoming episodes. And also follow our personal accounts at She's Powered by Plants and at LV Heels to get to know us even better.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.